Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We know that attitudes can be changed, even with something as contentious and controversial as abortion. People do change their mind. The pro-life movement has largely been for decades and decades now an effort to change minds. We often say changing hearts and minds. Sometimes we've been better at it than others, but it appears to be having a lasting effect. Abortion rates are down. What about attitudes toward abortion during tumultuous times like we're experiencing right now? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about a new poll on abortion attitudes in the U.S. Dr. Michael New joins us. He's a regular guest. He's visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America, associate scholar for the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and author of a column for National Review Online titled "New Poll Shows Small Gains in Pro-Life Sentiment." Dr. New, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
What is different about this poll as opposed to previous polls on American attitudes about abortion?
Well, I think what really makes this poll unique is the fact it's really the first national poll we've seen since the pandemic that looks at U.S. attitudes on the issue of abortion. We've had many polls on this issue, but this is the first one that's really come out since the pandemic. And obviously the pandemic has been very disruptive, and sometimes disruption affects public attitudes toward things. Certainly, there's been a lot of economic stress, and there's evidence that many women seek abortions due to economic pressures. Also, sometimes we see disruption affect people's attitudes toward religion, and religiosity is often a powerful predictor of attitudes toward religion. So it's kind of a relief. This poll does show a slight increase in pro-life sentiment. It indicates that there's an increase in one percentage point in terms of number of people who think abortion should either be illegal or available with limits, and a 4 percentage point reduction in approval toward the Roe v. Wade decision. So there is a slight gain in pro-life sentiment, and that's a good thing, especially considering the stress and the disruption that the pandemic has caused.
What kind of questions does a poll like this ask in order to determine the attitudes?
Simply put, it gives people three choices as to how they feel about abortion. Either it should not be permitted, available but under limits, or always available. So I think that the two of those choices, not permitted or available but under limits, kind of indicate people who are dissatisfied with the status quo, that Roe v. Wade, for all intents and purposes, allows for abortion for any reason throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. And then ask another question about Roe v. Wade, about whether the Supreme Court should reverse the decision or keep it as is. And unfortunately, I don't really like a lot of polling questions about Roe v. Wade. I don't think a lot of people really understand that Roe v. Wade effectively legalized abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. People also don't understand that reversing Roe v. Wade would simply send the decision back to the states. It wouldn't outlaw or ban abortion. That said, this poll does see a decrease in approval toward Roe v. Wade, and that's a positive development for pro-lifers.
So do I take it that because people fail to understand Roe and fail to understand what overturning Roe would actually mean, when we ask questions in these surveys about Roe, it's perhaps nearly impossible to word them in such a way to get really accurate results?
Let me put it this way. I think it's very easy to get misleading results. I mean, I think that there are some polling firms that have done a good job and actually do explain, you know, that Roe v. Wade effectively legalized abortions throughout all 9 months of pregnancy, and they do explain that reversing Roe v. Wade would allow abortion policy to be decided by elected officials at the state level. I think when polls are worded that way, you do see support for Roe v. Wade decline. But unfortunately, many media outlets that ask about Roe v. Wade don't explain that. And unfortunately, you get these very high approval ratings for Roe v. Wade that I think are very, very misleading.
One of the major effects that we are only beginning to sense from the coronavirus pandemic has been economic effects. Have you seen in the past any correlation between maybe economic downturns, time of the recession, whatnot, and attitudes toward abortion?
I'm not sure necessarily we've seen a strong correlation between the strength of the economy and how people feel about abortion, but I do think that there is concern that the number of abortions or the abortion rate may be going up. We do have data from Guttmacher that shows that many women do seek abortions because of economic pressures. They've done a couple studies on this which show similar results, that about 70% of women seeking an abortion cite economic or financial pressures as at least one of the reasons why she wants to obtain an abortion. And about 20% of women seeking abortion say that economic pressures are the most important reason why she's seeking an abortion. So that's a reason for concern. And also, we do have a little bit of data from Florida. Florida is one of the probably about the only state that really gives frequent updates on the number of abortions that are performed. And we have data on the number of abortions performed up until early June of this year. And we do see the numbers are increasing. We do see a slight increase of about 3.5% as compared to a similar point in 2019. And I don't necessarily think that's the reason necessarily to panic, but I do think pro-lifers should be concerned. I think we should support our pregnancy help centers. I think we should consider continuing sidewalk counseling efforts and other outreach in front of abortion clinics. But I think there is some evidence that abortion numbers are increasing, and I think that even though the pandemic poses challenges, pro-lifers should frankly step up our game.
Have you seen any data outside what we're talking about here narrowly on American attitudes about whether or not abortion clinics should remain open during the pandemic as, quote-unquote, essential services?
I think that's a very good question. To be perfectly honest, I've not really seen any polling data on that. I think that there are, thankfully, some elected officials who have tried to say that abortion clinics should fall under the same category as other facilities doing elective surgeries. But unfortunately, it just seems that by and large, abortion clinics have, for the most part, been allowed to remain open at a time when churches are closed and other legitimate businesses are closed as well. And I think that's just really been unfortunate. But I do think that many pro-lifers have continued our efforts. I do sidewalk counseling here in Washington, D.C., and we try to maintain some coverage of the D.C. Planned Parenthood. We've worn masks. In some cases, we hold up signs with displaying the phone number for a pregnancy help hotline. So you're not aware of any polling as such. But again, I do think that the pandemic is posing a variety of challenges. And I think that, again, pro-lifers are doing a lot of good work, which we should continue.
What does the slight improvement on American attitudes about abortion, or against abortion, we should say, and the what has been a general decline of the number of abortions or the abortion rate tell you? What's that big picture tell you?
Well, I think that, obviously, the pandemic is putting a variety of stress and pressure on people. But one thing I want people to remember is that overall, there's many, many positive trends in the pro-life movement. I mean, one thing I always tell pro-life audiences is that since 1980, the abortion rate's fallen by 50%. We have cut the abortion rate in half in about 40 years. And I think we should talk about it a lot more than we do. That is a big success story. Another big success story is that a higher percentage of unintended pregnancies are being carried to term. So it's not that unintended pregnancies aren't happening. It's that when they do happen, women are choosing life. And that's for a variety of reasons. Partly it's good pro-life educational efforts. Partly it's because pro-life is doing a better job helping the needs of pregnant women through pregnancy help centers. And it's also partly because of the good protective pro-life laws that many states are passing. So, even the numbers, go up, that's certainly, a tragedy, but it shouldn't detract from many positive, long-term trends that we see in the pro-life world.
You talk about building a pro-life culture. What do you mean by that?
Well, essentially, I think that this means kind of instilling beliefs and attitudes in people that would not only make abortion illegal, it would make it unthinkable. That one thing that, you know, I've realized as I've done more pro-life work is it's not any one thing, it's everything. I don't think there's any one, you know, magic bullet out there that's going to necessarily win this argument or win this battle for us. I think we need to fight this on many fronts. We need to educate people. We need to help pregnant women in need. We need to pass protective laws. And these things kind of build on each other and kind of feed on each other a bit. So I just think it's important that we need to change hearts, change minds, pray, help pregnant women in need, you know, have laws that kind of reinforce a culture of life. Again, these things, I think, all build on each other. And I think, you know, will someday result in a day where all unborn children are welcomed in life and protected in law.
Finally, is there anything that pro-lifers could learn from the new CBS News poll?
Sure. That even though we've seen a lot of disruption with the pandemic, the public attitudes toward abortion are pretty stable, and we've even seen some slight gains according to this poll. And as always, we need to step our efforts. I mean, the Supreme Court is going to be ruling on a case probably maybe within this week or next week about whether the state of Louisiana can put some common sense protections and regulations of abortion facilities in that state. And we have many, many elections coming up. We just need to maintain our efforts. Obviously, the pandemic has made our lives difficult, but we still need to do the good political work, legal work, education work that we're doing, and just be reassured that this pandemic may be a setback, may be pressuring some women into seeking abortions, but our polling numbers are still certainly stable. They've shown some improvement, and we need to just continue our work building a culture of life.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, author of a column for National Review Online titled "New Poll Shows Small Gains in Pro-Life Sentiment." You can read his column on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. New, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
LCMS Life Ministry advocates for the unborn, weak, and vulnerable. Learn more about their work at lcms.org/life. lcms.org/life. In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll go through listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll talk with Carrie Severino, Judicial Crisis Network president, about the Supreme Court ruling on the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
In Christ, you are crowned with glory and honor, and the fullness of that glory and honor awaits you in heaven and in the resurrection of your flesh to life and immortality.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
To him be all glory, honor, and praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Trinity addresses three important things for the reader.
Dr. Carl Beckwith talking about his book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, The Holy Trinity.
It explains the difficulties we face in confessing the Trinity in our world today. It shows how Scripture carefully and decisively presents the Trinity, and it rehearses the sound pattern of words used by the Church to clarify and defend the witness of Scripture.
Learn more about the Holy Trinity at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.